This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now it feels normal. There's the show open.
There it is.
Welcome,
baby.
Back into it. We are here. We're not axed yet. Text line. We're fine. Somebody says, oh, thank God I was listening to the national show and thought you guys got the axe. No, we're good for now.
Please don't compare us to a national show. We're actually talented. Oh, wait, was that out loud? I'm sorry.
Good hell.
Other than Ben, I mean.
Tuesday confidence.
That's right. Walking in like Jim McMahon, baby.
Yeah.
Or not Jim McMahon, Vince McMahon.
Yeah. I mean, Jim McMahon,
Jim McMahon, who the hell cares? That guy was confident, too.
Lakers not in five.
No, not in five?
No, I think it's over.
I think he'll be done with them. How about Miami? Way to go, Heat. Let's give the Miami Heat a round of applause for showing up for the playoffs.
Showing up.
Showing up, man. Way to go. You put your uniforms on, tied your sneakers. It's about where it stopped, right?
Bam said they were going to give a fighting effort.
Where they score six, they were down 60 at one point last night, lost by what, 50? Something like that last night.
That was embarrassing.
Way to go, Miami. Way to show up, man. Way to show up for a postseason series and get after it.
We need running clocks in sports.
I don't disagree with that at all. I'm 100% in favor of that. You know, it'll happen every once in a while at the high school level.
If you get
a certain point where, you know, the game is out of whack, they just couldn't continue to run the clock, whether it's football or basketball or something like that.
I am all too familiar with the running clock. I went to Hall McCarter Middle School, Bob.
Soccer is always a running clock, which is great.
Sure.
It's awesome that way, but I don't disagree with you. At certain points of games, whether it be the NFL or NBA or something like that, I mean, if you're going to put like Fatty McFatterson in the pitch in a baseball game like
I don't need to see it.
You know, call the game at that point in time, right?
Yeah, 15 after 3, 10 after 5.
That's right. That's like, Little League right there, baby. Yeah. And you know what? Don't get down by that much. Don't be a Colorado Rocky, okay? Yeah. Don't get your ass kicked early on, you know, in these games and have to, you know, face that running clock. And I know people will say, oh, gambling, tough. I mean, that's just the way the game goes. You gambled on it. This is the way it's going right now. You're down 30 after four. This thing's done, man.
The clock doesn't stop. Like, if it's like that Lions game last year where it's, you know, 48-7 and there's 15 minutes left in the fourth quarter, just keep that thing running.
Right.
Like, nobody, player safety, you know?
That's exactly right. Yeah, we got to keep this thing moving along.
Yeah.
But bravo to the Miami Heat. Get tip of the cap to them for finishing off this season strong, man.
They announced the score at the end of the game, and then they showed Jimmy Butler dancing for Golden State after hearing Miami go absolutely blown apart.
Good for him. Awesome.
Tonight's final in Miami, 141-78, and Jimmy Butler just starts going nuts on the floor. It's like, all right, that's a troll job.
It's a great troll job. It's fantastic. I love it.
So you know who's the captain or the manager of Team USA, right?
Yeah, it is. It's Mark DeRosa. Yes.
Do you know who his favorite player in baseball is?
Oh, it's Bobby Witt Jr., right?
What did his start look like last year compared to this year? What does he do? What is he hammering during this 19-game hit streak? I mean, it's everything. So let's get into it. Let's give him some love. Hopefully don't jinx him. He's too good to be jinxed. And the way his body moves, like I said, if I'm starting a franchise today, give me number 7 from the Kansas City Royals. He's showing up every day to be the greatest player that this game's ever seen.
Being the greatest player that this game has ever seen.
Tough to hear that, because that is, the sport's been played for quite some time.
Yeah.
And to hear him say that. Now, again, I know that he's, you know, a huge fan of Bobby Witt Jr. He's going to be one of the focus points of that roster. It'll be he and Judge in that World Baseball Classic, which will be next year. Mark DeRosa, the manager, talking about Bobby Witt Jr. And look, I'm not going to sit up here and say that he's the best player in baseball, but he's top three, and he's not two, and he's not three.
Right.
Okay. I'm not saying what I'm saying, but I'm saying it.
Sure.
He just does things better than everybody else. And I'm going to take two players and basically say that he's better than both of them, because he kind of has both of their traits. And Ellie De La Cruz is one of the best baseball players I've ever seen, just because of like raw talent from being a five-tool player with speed and everything like that.
The speed sets him apart from everybody else. It's crazy.
And what's crazy, he's not even leading the National League in stolen bases. Dips guy, Pete Criddle Armstrong, is for the Chicago.
I've been telling you, PCA, man. Yeah. Everybody kind of laughs at me. That kid's a good baseball player, man.
PCA principal, bro.
That's right.
And then you look at Aaron Judge and, like, the raw power. And now Judge is in a loaded lineup, so he's got the beneficial factor of getting the RBIs, but Judge is still almost leading every single serious offensive category. And Judge is right now playing better baseball than anyone on the planet.
He's hitting over 400 right now. Had an opportunity last night, but struck out in a big situation.
Yeah. So, and Bobby Witt Jr. has raw power. Like, we've seen him hit home runs because of, like, his strength mixed with his launch angle and his bat speed. It's all kind of the redefined era of baseball that there is. But Bobby Witt Jr. is what you would consider the total package. You could call him the Lex Luger of the MLB. And I thought we had Vern on yesterday, and we talked about it, because 19-game hit streak is something to be talked about. Mm-hmm. And the Royals do play tonight in Tampa in a minor league ballpark. You would hope for everything that this is where the offense can get that surge of revival.
Well, it's a spring training stadium, and everybody hits good in spring training, so hopefully the spring training stadium lends itself to. But real quick on that one, look around baseball, man. The entire league is not hitting right now. I mean, it is a gross display of hitting across all of Major League Baseball. So while we focus on our guys and it's not been good, the rest of baseball isn't much better than what's going on hitting-wise here in Kansas City. I mean, Santander, the guy that we all coveted, at least I did, this offseason, he's not even hitting 200 right now.
No, he's 175, two home runs. So he's essentially done what Vinny Pasquantino's done.
Yep.
But I think when you look at Bobby Witt Jr., we talked to Vern yesterday about it, and I know, like, Vern's not one of those guys who once gets carried away in, like, records or get carried away in streaks or what could happen. He just wants to play the game and see where it all ends up at the end, which is a very good, sane mindset to have with baseball because of the longevity of the season. But he did mention something that was very interesting to me about Bobby Witt Jr. and the hit streak. And Whit Merrifield had a 31-game hit streak.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Witt Jr. is...
Wasn't Witt's over two seasons, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it was from the season before, and then it carried over. So, but to put those two guys in the same sentence, you think to yourself, like, what are we doing here? Because obviously Bobby Witt Jr. is moons and planets and stars above Whit Merrifield's talent level. But it is true that Bobby Witt Jr., when you think about guys that can, like, be generational or be different, Bobby Witt Jr. can do that because of a 19-game hit streak that in Kansas City, we're all watching tonight to see if he continues to get the hit.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, is that there are so many ways that he can do it. Like, he could literally hit a chopper to third, beat it out. It's going to be a hit. It's not going to be an error. He can hit a bloop. He can hit a liner in the gap. Like, there's just so many different ways that he can just get you. And not only that, but, like, he's the best in the game to do it. Like, De La Cruz is hitting 270. Bobby's hitting 320. Like, that's a significant difference.
Yeah.
And De La Cruz is one of the best baseball players that I've seen in my lifetime because of what he can do with his talent level. Aaron Judge is hitting 400. But Aaron Judge hits 10 hits and 20 at bats, and then goes like 7 without a hit and strikes out 5 times. You don't really see a lot of that in Bobby Witt Jr.'s game. And now he's at a point where it's like the league almost looks easy for him.
Yeah.
And he is must watch every time he comes up, hit streak or no hit streak. But he's a chance to get to 20 tonight. And you're not playing the greatest team in the world. And if he gets out of Tampa with a 22 game hit streak, it gets seriously even more on a national level.
Well, it's going to become a national story as long as he continues to get these hits and whatnot. And, the MVP conversation, I'd love to be having it right now, but you've mentioned Judge hitting 403 times already, and so that's going to be tough to overcome, is that you're battling with Aaron Judge. It's high praise from Mark DeRosa, who is that manager of Team USA, so you know Bobby will be on that team. To say he's the best baseball player of all time, though, I mean, that is some high praise already for a guy who I don't even know that he's reached the prime of his career at this point in time. I think Bobby Witt's still in that early chapter of his career. And once you get 25, 26, 27, 28, in that kind of age range, that's when you normally reach the prime of your career. And so for DeRosa to heap that praise on him that he's the greatest of all time, I said, all right, let's pump our brakes a little bit here on Bobby Witt. He's trending to be one of the greatest of all time. How you become the greatest of all time, it's all semantics. It's all your choice, my choice, his choice. It doesn't matter who says what. Everybody's going to have their own opinions about that. But it's really cool to kind of be in that conversation. And I was talking to somebody yesterday yesterday about our two franchises here in Kansas City, and they said to me, they go, how lucky are the Chiefs and Royals to have Patrick Mahomes and Bobby Witt and to make those two picks and to hit those two picks and to change the entire dynamic of the franchise? Think about both of these franchises right now. Had the Chiefs not taken Patrick Mahomes and had the Royals not taken Bobby Witt with those two picks, where would these franchises be at this point in time? I think they'd be a steady, good franchise with Andy Reid. Hell, Andy may have already retired if they don't have Patrick Mahomes, you know, kind of here in Kansas City. And where are the Royals without Bobby Witt Jr. right now, right? They're not one of the teams that everybody's talking about. It's amazing the difference that these two players have made for the entire landscape of sports in Kansas City. And if you don't go out and make those draft picks and hit on those draft picks like they did, the entire landscape of Kansas City sports has changed. And so you credit Dayton Moore and his staff for drafting Bobby. You credit John Dorsey and you credit Brett Veach and their staff for going out and getting Patrick Mahomes and making those right decisions, because it's not often you get franchise changing players. We just had a draft, right? Three rounds of an NFL draft. How many franchise changing players were drafted this year? I'm going to go ahead and say none. At this point in time, I'm going to say none, because usually it's a quarterback. And I don't know that we have that franchise changer right now. We are so fortunate as sports fans that our organizations made those two right picks to set this organization up, because the Chiefs are going to go as far as Mahomes does and the Royals are going to go as far as Bobby Witt Jr. is. Those are the two leaders of these franchises.
Yeah, and you could take it one step further as well, because you could say the franchise, but also of the leagues that they represent.
Yeah.
Like, Mahomes is clear the face of the NFL. Like, mm-hmm. We know that now. Like, once Brady stepped away, it was kind of the torch that was passed. Like,
yeah.
You're now the guy that's, like, got more accolades, more everything than anybody else. It's not even close. More titles, more everything, wins, playoff wins, all that sort of stuff. The numbers just don't lie.
Right, and I don't know if he's that face of the NFL if he's not here with Andy Reid. If he's in another organization, maybe we're talking about Josh Allen being the face of the NFL.
And maybe he's in Kansas City.
Maybe he is, yeah, the next year, yeah.
And so you look at that, and then you look at baseball, and you know the article that we have here from Awful Announcing about how numbers are up in mm-hmm. the month of April, like attendance-wise going to games.
Attendance is their highest in the month of April since 2008.
It's pretty interesting. Because that's kind of like right when baseball officially started to die.
Yeah.
Was about 08, at least in my opinion. Like after 01 and 02 when Bonds was doing his thing, then you had like that little lull of like baseball where it was still kind of hanging on by a thread. But then after about 08, like the NFL really kind of took three gears up. And it was
right.
just kind of like no one's catching us now.
Yep.
And I think the reason for that is I kind of agree a little bit with this article, but I kind of have still some beef to pick with it. Because the marketing director is who they were talking to in this article.
Yeah, Major League Baseball. Yeah.
And she claims, like, the reason why she's seeing an uptick in baseball is because of the rule changing and the superstars that have been present at a young age. You mm-hmm. talk about Fernando Tatis. We talked about Judge. We talked about Cruz. Bobby Witt Jr. is another one. And I think, you know, the interesting point that you make is that you're saying that nowadays more kids and young adults are following more players than they are necessarily their own team.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that it was basically kind of like that when I was a kid. Now, I also am a kid who lived in a city where there was only football and baseball.
But you're also a product of growing up with an organization that wasn't worth a damn, and you
right.
really didn't have anything to root for from a baseball team standpoint.
And really neither one of them, because like in my mid-teens, the Chiefs were like
yeah.
putrid and terrible, and the Royals my whole life until about, I don't know, 2003, they had that year, I think, when they
right.
had the whatever.
A couple games over 500. That
and
was
then,
11 years until they
And then I had to wait until
yet.
13 and 14. And by then, I'm, you know, on my way to college. And I thought the interesting thing is, like, yeah, they have all these players, but they're still not pushing them. Like, and where I saw this article get really into it on Awful Announcing is that she starts describing as these players are growing up with, like, social media and they – really, mm-hmm. baseball is figuring out they don't need to push these players, because if these players are going to be popular, they're already popular before they get into the league because they've been followed at a younger age. Paul Skeens at LSU is an example that she brings up in an article. But it's also like you can still use this to push your product. Like, I mean, there's stories like this in football all the time that like, yeah, you may not like the Lions, but since you follow Jahmyr Gibbs on IG, you think he's funny and he has all these things, you start to root for that player. For
yep.
me as a child, it was Ken Griffey Jr., but where the social media was then was on games, was on commercials, was on
SportsCenter
promos, like they were showing them. And nowadays, they're relying on their social media following, which we know baseball players aren't always the most eccentric guys. Even Paul Skeens, when he got interviewed, we played him at the bobblehead. He's like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever, I saw it. It's
mm-hmm.
like, baseball still has to do more, and they could really push up and really compete because basketball's giving you that opportunity, and nobody's really kind of stepped in to be like, hey, you want to go toe-to-toe with the NFL. You're not going to win, but you can win in the months where the NFL doesn't exist. And right now, the draft has happened. The schedule release is on Wednesday the 14th, and then there's nothing until August. And that's kind of like where baseball can shine. And yes, the Field of Dreams games help. Yes, like superstars in this league help. But push those superstars. Put them on. The Royals are on Fox on Saturday against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
Right?
But see, that's the difference between the NFL and everything else. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday. We've got to stop, like, everything to the NFL, right? The NFL is its own beast. It is over here in this category all by itself. How do we become the best of everything else, right? If you're baseball, how do you become the best secondary sport out there, the most popular secondary sport out there? And I really do think it's difficult for baseball for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're playing every single night. And number two, there's no national broadcasts really for Major League Baseball. You have Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. I know where I am on Sunday nights. By the time Sunday night rolls around, you're getting ready for the week. You're done. You're moving on. And you're focused on the week ahead. You make your lunch. You get your homework done. You do all this kind of stuff, right? Everybody's kind of there on Sunday nights. That's their only national time slot where people can truly sit down and consume the game. The NFL's got national time slots all the time, and it's easy to push when you have that one day a week when it comes to the players. And so I've been like racking my brain for years now. We always say they don't push the players out there enough, but how can they do that in the situation that they are in? And I don't know what the right answer to that question is. If somehow you create a red zone channel to be the end all be all like the NFL has done, where people are watching that now over games, and then when they watch games, they go, these games are boring because I'm not used to having commercials and second and 10 and things of that nature. So how does baseball capture that? I don't know that they do, but I think you just have to do that in your own market. And I think right now, I think Kansas City's pretty captivated by what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing right now. But I think it's also a wake-up call to understand that it's not necessarily about the team for the kids anymore. It's about the player. I mean, we don't have a basketball team here. All you see are Steph Curry jerseys all around. They identify with Steph Curry. You see Bobby Witt jerseys around all the time. You see Patrick Mahomes jerseys on every corner of the globe. They're not necessarily Chiefs fans. They're Patrick Mahomes fans. And when Mahomes leaves, they're probably not going to be Chiefs fans anymore because they were Patrick Mahomes fans. And that's kind of the way it goes. So how do you embrace that next wave of ways that kids today and people today are being fans, where they're just rooting for that individual player and not necessarily for that individual team? And that's something Major League Baseball and all the other sports for that matter kind of need to figure out. How do we embrace that? And look, I think they're doing a pretty good job of that. I think baseball's at an all-time high right now. They mentioned the attendance being good, the rules changes, the quickness of games, the excitement, the exciting players are here right now. Mm-hmm. I think baseball is kind of on a heater right now. The only thing that's going to kill it is a lockout at 27. And that's why you have to try to avoid that as much as possible, because you're riding a heater right now. The last thing you want to do in these last couple of years where things are going great in baseball is to lock this thing out and to shut this thing down, because then you will lose everybody at that point in time.
Yeah, and hopefully that doesn't happen. But I think, you know, the other thing too that makes baseball interesting is that, like, you compare, like you say, like, you can't be the NFL. Not everybody can be Chick-fil-A.
Right.
But you can go pick their brain on how they made their drive-through system work. Like, oh, we never thought about putting somebody out ahead of the actual screen to where you can order on a tablet and then just pull forward.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be them. Like, you don't have to try to find the perfect chicken sandwich. You're not going to. That's just them. That's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is take some of their, you know, strategies and some of their tactics and kind of implicate them into your game, like the Field of Dreams game. Like, when it's Home Run Derby, you know, make the incentives a little bit sweeter. Like, I know you don't have a play-in tournament like the NBA tried to adopt something. Let's do a play-in tournament. The NFL doesn't have to do that because the NFL is week-by-week entertaining.
Yeah.
So when they get Thanksgiving and Christmas Day and Brazil and all these, that is their in-season stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have a Field of Dreams game. You could have every superstar be in the Home Run Derby, like Bobby Witt Jr., De La Cruz, Pete Alonso, Aaron Judge, and be like, hey, you win this, it's a $1.5 million check. Or something like that. Baseball has the money to do that.
Of course they do.
And you could have other little...
Is that enough money, though, for a guy like, let's just say, Bobby Witt Jr., who's signed a $300 million contract? You know, like,
I mean, I don't know what the number is. I just know that you could make it sweet enough, because that's where you lost the dunk competition. Like, the players are like, I'm not doing that. And you see a guy from the G League win it in back-to-back years, because there's not enough sweetness there for it.
Right.
Plus, they're already load management, so they're taking this as a time off anyway.
And baseball's the same way they've always looked at it. I got 3 days off, man.
Right, but the Home Run Derby, yes, exhausting. We don't do it. It's something that we always hear afterwards, like, oh, I'm exhausted. It's like, yeah, but like, it's one night. You don't have to necessarily play in the game if you don't want to. And if you do, you're playing two innings and you're done. Mm-hmm. You still get the next night. You've got the night before. It's not like that taxing, in my opinion, on the body for a baseball player. And everybody kind of fell in love with Bobby Witt Jr. last year outside of the metro area with his run at the home run
Derby.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah. And he became, I still believe to this day, he became a face in Major League Baseball last year because of that home run derby and then what he did afterwards where he hit magma hot level of heat mm-hmm. and just went on that tear in July. And now all of a sudden, leading into it, we're riding a 19-game hitting streak. We're wrapping up this conversation. We start with Bobby Witt Jr. We end with Bobby Witt Jr. And now it's kind of up to baseball to be like, hey, if this is your guy and he's flashy and the mullet's cool and all the celebrations are fun on the bases, then push it. Come on and do it because you didn't do it with Harper. You didn't do it with Trout. You kind of tried to do it with Tatis and they did steroids. And now all of a sudden you kind of have this like player window where you could push Skeens, Cruz, and Witt and be like,
and the other thing that all three of those guys have in common, they all play in the eastern part of the country too. And it's a lot easier to promote stars when they're playing at 6 and 7 o'clock at night than 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. If you're Bobby Witt, you know, or not Bobby Witt, Mike Trout, I mean,
yeah.
Playing out in California, hard to push those guys. Major League Baseball has three stars basically, you know, east of the mountain time zone. And Bobby Witt Jr., Ellie De La Cruz and Aaron Judge, you have an opportunity to market those guys early in the evening
and Skeens, to a lot of the
and Skeens pitches in Pittsburgh. Exactly. So you've got the opportunity to market those guys from a TV standpoint as well. I just think until Major League Baseball figures out that way to embrace that national package where like Sunday Night Football, we're all glued to the TV set because it's, you know, you want to see what's going on in Sunday Night Football. How does baseball do that at least one night of the week? I don't know if they pick a Wednesday and everybody's on a national platform on Wednesday night and there are no local broadcasts and every game starts at the same time and you know, or you have two windows like a noon and a three. You have a 6 o'clock window and you have an 8 o'clock window in baseball where it's all on national television one night a week where you have to go there and they take you to this game and they treat it like an NFL day. Maybe that's what Major League Baseball needs to do and find that. Like, how on Wednesday nights do we make this baseball night in America, so to speak, and we're just going to have a national broadcast. We're going to have our pregame show. We're going to have all of our announcers at different places. We're going to go there. We're going to flip you to this game. We're going to flip you to that game. We're going to show you in-game highlights. That's something Major League Baseball needs to think about and not do it on a Sunday night or a Saturday. Do it on a night when people are truly consuming television, and I think that's middle of the week.
And the crazy part about that is they have that, they do that, they don't do it enough, and it's the MLB at bat.
Yeah.
Because they have it, but they do it on Monday night, and then they go right to regional coverage at 6. And it's like, not the whole game. We don't need the whole game. Like, just regional coverage of, like, all the games. Because they'll do it. Like, it's cool. They'll put, like, four pictures up, and they'll be like, all right, so-and-so's up to bat in this game. So-and-so's on the mound in this game. And you're kind of just everywhere. And then it's just gone. It's
yeah.
like, no, more of this. More of this. This isn't addicting yet. Like,
yeah.
I need more of it.
But
like,
I think
it's okay.
The problem with that is that you still have all these other games on all these other channels.
Sure.
And so people are going to this store and that store and this store and that store. Let's create a Walmart and keep everything under one roof where it's a one-stop shop. And everybody just goes to Walmart in every town. Right now, obviously, that's an extreme. But that's something like Major League Baseball needs to do. Control the broadcasts one night a week and dictate what everybody's going to see. And then you can truly market your players that way.
You definitely could. They definitely need to do it because they've got the absolute stud power surge in baseball right now if they could just push it.